All right, I will say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for Adar Beis, the Schwartzbaum family, for dedicating all the Shemot Drashos this month. In memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Rabbi Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Livracha, Leah Sol, in the schnitz of her daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery, and complete refuah shlema for the safe return of all of our hostages and hatzlacha for our precious soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emmanuel, and the merit of hatzlacha, health, and joy for her entire family. And Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon Hashem Yikom Damo, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, the families in Nechama, our hostages should be returned speedily and our soldiers should be successful b'chol ma'asei adehem. We have a Daf Yomi sponsorship today, or he is, an anonymous sponsorship in honor of Maish Wertesheim's birthday. Mazel Tov, this is literally the gift. Where's Maish? Okay, literally the gift that keeps on giving. Aruch Hashem, I see, I call this the Yoni Freya. Another anonymous sponsor in honor of your birthday. You're like missing your own party over here, you know? It's incredible. Future sponsorships in honor of Mike Schwartersheim's birthday are still available. Once you finish with those, we'll be back at Yoni Frager's birthday in Mirzah Hashem. It's incredible. Beautiful. It's beautiful to see the Chevra Shaft and beautiful to see the Achdus. Incredible. I want to say today's daf is Lamed Zayin 37. We are picking up on a lot to do today. Lamed Vav Amud Beis, 27 lines up from the bottom. The short lines, 27 lines up from the bottom. So say, remember again, we began yesterday, well, the end of yesterday's shir, focused on what we all think is a pretty incredible case, which is, remember again, I gave my cow to Reuven to watch. Reuven was poshe. He left the barn door open. And the animal escaped into the marsh. It died in the marsh, but it died of natural causes in the marsh. So the shaila is, what's the level of liability? So this was an interesting machlokes Abaye and Rabba. Sorry, Rabba and Rava. So Rabba said Yuchayif, and Rava said ultimately again that you're potter. So we went through each of the respective positions yesterday. We have to each this. So remember again. So just working backwards. It was Abaye Mishmei de Rabba. So Abaye, the name of Rabba, said that you're chayiv. Rava, in the name of Rabba, said that you're potter. So working backwards. So Rava, in the name of Rabba, said that you're potter. Why? He said Malach Hamaves Mali Hacha Mali Asam. What does it matter? In other words, the animal died of natural causes. So being that the animal died of natural causes, we assume that to mean animal would have died anywhere. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, there shouldn't be liability. The first opinion, Abaye in the name of Rabba, said no, there is liability. Why? Because we were concerned, or we assume, that it was the hevel, it was the bad air of the marsh that ultimately killed the animal. Okay, so we'll say that's our machlokes. Umodi Abaye agrees, di'i hadra lebe mara, Umesa de Potter. So we'll say Abaye agrees that what? Now remember, Abaye who says that Yerchayev, because we assume that it was the heir of the marsh that killed the animal, agrees that if, let's say, the animal escaped, right, went to the marsh, and then Reuven the Shomer got it back, and then returned it back to me, the owner, and then the animal died, even Abaye will agree in that case that the Shomer is Potter. My time, what's the reason? Because at the end of the day, the Shomer did his job and he returned the animal. And you can't claim that now it was the bad air of the marsh that killed the animal. Okay. Umodi Rava, Kolecha de Ignava Ganav Ba'agam, Umesa Kidarka Beganav de Chayev. And Rava will agree that if the Ganav goes ahead and, let's say, I watch this case, I deposit the animal with Reuven. Animal escapes through an open door. Animal goes to the marsh. Animal is stolen in the marsh, stolen from the marsh by a ganav, and then dies in the ganav's house. Even Rava will agree in that case that there is liability. Why? My taima, dishat ki malach hamavis bebeisei the ganav havakaima. Because even if the malach hamavis would have left this animal alone, there still would have been a problem. What would have been a problem? The animal was found in the house of the ganav. In other words, the animal was inaccessible to its owner, and therefore, again, the shomer failed in his shmirah. Fine. Amalei Abaye the Rava. So therefore, we are still left with our core machlokes, Abaye saying that you are chayiv. Abaye saying that you are chayiv because again we assume that it was the bad air of the marsh that killed the animal. And ultimately, again, Rava saying that you're pater malach hamaves malihacha malihas. And the animal died of natural causes. So, what does it matter again if it died in the barn or it died in the marsh? Okay, let's go right there. So, from the Abaye and the Rava, so Abaye says Rava, lididach da amrit malach hamaves malihacha malihasam. So, according to you, Rava, who says that since the animal died of natural causes, why should the shomer have any liability? What does it matter if it died of natural causes in the barn or it died of natural causes in the marsh? Either way, it died of natural causes. Hi, the osve Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Rabbi Ami v'shanile b'shenasnu lo b'ilim rishus lahashil. So we're saying yesterday's daf, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal asked the shayla to Rabbi Ami, and the answer was that we were talking about a case where the owner gave the renter the right to go ahead and lend it out. Why not give the answer that I will say when the animal dies of natural causes, there should never be any liability no matter what happened. Why? Because the malach hamavis comes wherever you are. So the Gemara says, So reverses the question. So according to you who says that the svara in yesterday's daf was that the owner of the object says to the person whom he lent it to or to he rented it to, you don't have a right to give it to anyone else. Why? I don't want my object to be in someone else's hand. Why don't you answer over here also? Then I'll call him, I say again, I believe you with the Shavua, but I don't believe anyone else with the Shavua. Could this not have been answered at all? So they ask on each other based on the respective source here, back to the conversation of yesterday's daf. Okay, so it remains unresolved. So we'll say another interesting case, or a really interesting case. Hello, the Rashi Tzukin, the Nafla. We'll say, watch this. So let's say I gave my animal to Reuven to watch. He's a shomer. And now he brought it up to the top of the mountain. Rosh Hashanah means to the top of a high mountain. The nafla. And the animal fell off and died. What's the halacha? Ein ze ones v'chayiv. So I will say, Reuven can't claim, extenuating circumstances, and therefore I'm pater. Rather, he's chayiv. So the Gemara says, go on a second. V'hamesa kedarka hari ze ones u'pater. But let's say we're assuming over here that the animal died. Right, the animal died. Right, I'm sorry. V'hamesa kedarka hari ze ones u'pater. V'amai. So we'll say, so one second. What about, so the reason why Reuven's liable in this case is why? Because the animal fell off the mountain. Right, that's why he's chayiv. Because let's say you can't, in other words, if you take an animal onto a high mountain and the animal falls off the mountain, you can't claim ones. You can't claim ones, right? And therefore, again, you're chayiv. Now, we'll say the Gemara makes an interesting observation. What do you see from here? Let's say Reuven took my animal up to the top of the mountain, and the animal didn't fall off. The animal died of natural causes. So we'll say, what does it sound like? Hareza ones upater. That sounds like an extenuating circumstance, and Reuven would be pater. Va'amai, but why? Le'male avira dahar katla. Why not say that it was the air of the right to high altitude that killed the animal? In other words, the same way I will say that Abaye says that when the animal goes into the swamp and dies in the swamp, even though it looks like it died of natural causes, we attribute that to the foul air of the swamp. Say the same thing, and the animal's on a high altitude. It was the high altitude that killed the animal, and therefore, again, Reuven should be chayiv. Inami, to which the Gemara says, Inami, of tsuna the harkatla, or maybe what is the steep incline, or is the extra exertion on the animal that caused it to die. So what's the case over here? Skinon shehela lemira shamin v'tov. Now we'll say the case over here is where Reuven took my animal up to a pasture land on the top of the mountain. In other words, literally again, shamin means like fat, like a rich and good pasture land. So we'll say apparently with the Gemara saying it's like this, it was common for people to graze their animals on this pasture land on the top of the mountain. So obviously the air quality was okay. The steep incline wasn't too much for the animals because everyone was doing it. Therefore, again, that's why if the animal dies of natural causes up there, you're okay. Ihachi, nafla nami. One second, if that's the case, even if the animal falls off the mountain, you shouldn't be chayiv because it was normal to take animals up there. To which the Gemara says, shahayilo lutakfo, for lo takfa. No. Because even if there's a normal pastoral land there, and it was normal for people to take animals up there, you still have to hold on to your animal very carefully when leading it up and leading it down. And obviously, if it fell off the cliff, that means, or fell off the mountain, that means you didn't do a good job. Ihachi, emaresha, also the rashi tsukin benafla hareza ones. If that's the case of Hosea, then what? Then look at the Reisha. He brought it up to the top of the mountain and it fell off. This is an ones. So why is it an ones? At the end of the day, you should have held on to the animal. No, say that case is talking about a situation where halacha might say he did hold on to the animal, but despite holding on to the animal still fell off and died. So we'll say that kind of case, that would be an ones. In other words, if the shomer of Reuven takes all of the necessary precautions, but the animal still dies, then the animal still falls off, then enachinami, that is going to be a case of ones. So that's the end of this sugya. How do we paskin? Because this happens to be an interesting scenario. So remember again, we have one simple case, machlokes Abaye and Rava. I gave my animal to Reuven. Reuven left the barn door open. Barn door open. The animal got out, went to the agam, went to the marsh, died of natural causes in the marsh. So is there liability or not? So machlokes, opinion number one, says no, he died of natural causes. Mali hacha, mali hasam. The malach hamavos is going to get him. What does it matter if it's here in the barn or if it's outside? Second opinion, no, it's quite possible that the foul air of the marsh killed the animal. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? So the Rambam paskins, Hilchos Chiros, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, Pasha Bavi Yatza de Akom Meis Hashem Kidarka, Pater. She'in Yitziyasa Garma Lo She'tavo Lidin. Onei Zeh, Hoil Ukidarka Meisa, Mali bebeis Hashomer, Mali ba'adam. So we'll say we paskin like Abaye in this case. We paskin like Abaye in this case. That halach lemaisa, you're going to be potter, because since the animal died of natural causes, we assume the same natural causes that killed the animal in the marsh are the same natural causes that killed the animal in, or that would have killed the animal in the barn as well. Therefore, halach lemaisa, Reuven will not be chayiv. Now, I want to point out, remember, many moons ago, we learned the sugya of tchilaso b'pshia v'sofo ba'ones, where you do something that is negligent, but the negligence results in an unavoidable circumstance. Remember, we paskin, tchilaso b'pshia v'sofo ba'ones is chayiv. That's how we paskin. When you do something that is negligent and the negligent act ultimately leads to a result in an unavoidable circumstance, you are still liable because you got that process started. So just to point out, this case is different because since, again, this is natural death, we assume the halacha assumes natural death would have occurred wherever the animal is. Even though we pass in Tchilasa B'Shev Safa Ba'ones is chayiv, in this case you're going to be pater. Plus we also remember, again, we always speak out this idea that Tchilasa B'Shev Safa Ba'ones chayiv is not just a din in halacha, but also a din in hashkafa. That many times in life, you know, we are negligent, and then things happen, and the result often is an ones, is an unavoidable circumstance. And often we free ourselves from liability because, hey, look, I didn't do that. These circumstances were visited upon me. While it may be true that the result was visited upon you, but so many times in life when things go wrong, it's important to ask ourselves, How did I get here? Now, sometimes the whole thing is ones, right? There are onsim. There are unavoidable, overwhelming circumstances in life. But many times in life, when things go wrong, it's because I made poor decisions at the outset of a process. And ultimately, again, those poor decisions in the beginning led me to a point over here. Right now, it's an ones. So right now, there are circumstances beyond my control that are being visited upon me. So right now, it's an ones. But how did I get to these circumstances in life? Because I was a poshea. Because I was negligent. How careful we have to be with our decisions. Because so often the decisions we make in the here and now put us on a course that is only going to be determined days, weeks, months, or sometimes years later. The decisions now have long-lasting impact. And therefore pay close attention before we make them. Because if I make bad decisions now, even if halacha l'maisa, it's an ones later on, I still bear the responsibility for that. Overwhelming. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, sorry, Am Rav Yossi, Keitzer halah oses schora beparos. Supposed to remember again in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi said, come on, remember again the case in the Mishnah, where I went ahead and I rented a cow to Reuven. Reuven then went ahead and lent it to Shimon. So what happened? Shimon is a shoel. The animal dies. The animal dies of natural causes. So remember, again, a shoel is chayiv. But a socher is pater. So Reuven technically is pater to me, but Reuven could collect on the cow from Shimon who he lent it to. Rabbi Yossi says, come on, that is ridiculous. How could it be that I, the owner of the animal, are going to get nothing and Reuven, the renter, is going to get a payday? It doesn't make any sense. To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Yossi. Talach Hazak Rabbi Yossi. Amr Rav Shmuel, Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Talam Mishmei de Shmuel. Chaluk Haya Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi even disagreed about, say, Af Barishon, atop of Lama Zayin, 37a. Even in the first case. I'm going to say, now what's the first case? The first case is the first case of the perek. Rashi says over here, "Bishilem v'lo ratza lishava kate zazen nosin l'soch kiso kfelo shalza." First, remember, again, we have this case. I go ahead and I gave my cow to Reuven to watch. Right, they come back to get it back. Reuven says the cow died. I'm so sorry. Right, he said, I said, how did it die? What happened? So Reuven says, it died of natural causes. In which case, Reuven would normally be potter. So remember again, but Reuven has to swear that that's what happened. Reuven says, you know what? I don't want to swear. I'm just going to pay. Fine. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me reframe it. Reuven said the animal was stolen. Nignava. I say, fine. Technically, he's potter. I say, Reuven, take a shvua that that's true. He says, you know what? I don't like taking shvuas. I'm just going to pay you. Here's the money. Supposed to say, what's the halach? What did the Mishnah say? Let's say they track down the ganav, and the ganav pays kefil. Who gets the kefil? Reuven, the shomer, right? By paying, he's entitled to the kofar. Rabbi Yossi doesn't like that. And Rabbi Yossi says, come on, that doesn't make any sense. The kefil belongs to the owner of the object. I'm the owner of the object. Granted, Reuven paid because he didn't want to swear. But why should Reuven be entitled to kefil? So Rabbi Yossi disagreed even in that case. The Gemara says, halacha kamoso in halacha kamoso. Does the halacha follow him or not? Amalei, chalakai Rabbi Yossi after Rishon. Halacha kamoso. So he responded, Rabbi Yossi disagreed even in that first case that the shomer should be entitled to the kefil, and the halacha follows him. So we'll say, itmar nami amra bilazra, chalukai Rabbi Yossi af barishona, ba'alacha kimoso. So ba'alacha kimoso af barishona. So fine, Rabbi Yochanan amar, modahai Rabbi Yossi barishona, shekvar shilem. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Rabbi Yossi agrees in the first case. Right? Rabbi Yossi agrees in the first case, namely, that Allah kalamayin, so once the shomer pays, if they subsequently track down the ganov, the shomer is entitled to the kefil or to the arba v'chamishah. We'll say, we already established that. That is the halacha. That if the shomer decides to go ahead and pay instead of swear, and they ultimately find the ganav, whether the ganav is chayiv kefil, arba v'chamishah, whatever he is, that goes to the shomer. So we pass in that day. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and he says, Rabbi Yossi is only disagreeing in this Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing in the previous Mishnah. So the Gemara says, now, the Gemara just makes an interesting diuk. Shekvar shileim. Shileim in, lo shileim lo. Now, is it only if the ganav actually paid for the value of the cow? But if he didn't pay, he's not, if he didn't, what if he just made a commitment to pay, but he didn't yet actually pay, that he's not entitled to the Keva va'ar. Remember again, we had this just a few days ago. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shilim shilim mamish, ela kevan shamar harinim mishalim, af api shalo shilim. So let's say, what did we learn before? We learned that halacha l'maisa, when does the shomer become entitled to the kefil, to the arba v'chamishah? When? As soon as there is a verbal commitment to pay, even if he did not yet actually pay. But yet from the way Rabbi Yossi frames it is, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi saying, in order to be entitled to the kefil, to the arba v'chamishah, the shomer has to actually pay. To which the Gemara says, no. Ema moda hay Rabbi Yossi barishona shekvar amar hareini mishalim. No, rather read it as saying, Rabbi Yossi agrees that the shomer is entitled to the kefil, to the arba v'chamishah. Why? Because he already articulated a willingness to go ahead and pay. So I will say, so therefore again, as we close out this sugya, so we pass like Rabbi Yossi in this Mishnah, but not like Rabbi Yossi in the previous Mishnah. So we already established that Allah al-Maisa, in a case where the shomer says, I'm going to pay and not swear, effectively, I will say, by paying, the shomer kind of becomes the owner of the animal, right? And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, he is entitled to future kefal or to future arba v'chamisha. That's how he passed it. Now, like Rabbi Yossi, in our Mishnah, will say, where halacha lemaisa, again, Reuven went ahead, right? I went ahead and I rented an animal to Reuven. And then Reuven lent it to Shimon. And now the animal dies of natural causes. So as a socher, as a renter, Reuven is pater. But as a borrower, as a shoel, Shimon is chayiv. So the Tanakhama said, Reuven, the socher, doesn't have to pay anything to me, the owner. But Shimon, the shoel, the borrower, has to pay the value of the animal to Reuven. To which Rabbi Yossi says, that makes no sense. If anyone's going to pay anything, Shimon, the borrower, is going to pay me, the owner of the animal. I will say, and that's how he paskin. Like Rabbi Yossi, that's how he paskin. Can't have any unfair enrichment in these kind of cases. All right. We'll say, great Mishnah. Here we go. Amar l'shnayim. Right? We'll say, I go over to Reuven and to Shimon. And what do I say? Gazalt, strange case. Gazalti la'acha mikem, mana ve'eni odeh eze mikem. Right? I want to be a Baal Tshuva. Who doesn't want to be a Baal Tshuva? Right? I also say, I'm tired of living with inconsistencies. I'm tired of living, again, with sin on my record. I want to go ahead. I want a clean slate. So I know that I stole. I go to Reuven and Shimon and say, guys, it's a difficult conversation for me. Right? I stole from one of you. I just don't know who. Okay, that's case one. Next. Oh, Aviv Shalacha Mikem Hifkid Limana Ve'ini Odea Ezo. Right? Or I'll go over to Reuven and Shimon and say, Reuven and Shimon, listen, one of your fathers deposited money with me for safekeeping, and I have it, and I want to return it, and I don't know which of your fathers. So I will say, obviously, this is presupposing their fathers died. So I don't know whose father deposited with me. Both fathers died. I want to give it back. So I will say, what's the halacha? No sin l'zemana u'l'zemana shahodim mipiatzmo. If I want to make good, then what? I pay both parties. So I go over to Reuven and Shimon. Guys, I stole from one of you. I don't know who I stole from. Fine. Pay them both. I go ahead and I go over to Reuven and Shimon. One of your fathers deposited money with me. I don't know who. Pay them both. Now, why that is, we'll have to see in the Gemara. Because halachically, that doesn't seem to make sense. First of all, in general, I will say, Hamotzi Bechavero, Alav Haraya. Right? Again, money remains with the party that has it right now until it's proven that he owes it to someone. So we'll have to see what the mechanics of this are. Next, Shnaim Shef Kido Eitzel Echad, Zem Mana Vezem Asayim. So we'll say, watch this case. These are great cases. Reuven and Shimon came and deposited money with me. I'm watching it. One of them gave me $200, one of them gave me $100. So what happens? Well, say now they come to reclaim their money. So Zeh Omer Shalim Asayim, Zeh Omer Shalim Asayim. So I will say, both now, Reuven and Shimon are claiming that the $200 that was deposited was theirs. So both are claiming the $200. So I will say, so now what do I do? So no sin l'zeh manah u'l'zeh manah v'ashar yemunach ad sh'yavo elio. So I will say, so what happens? I give each of them $100. Now why do I give each of them $100? Why each of them $100? Why? Because both of them are entitled to 100, and the remaining 100 remains in escrow, messianic escrow. Right? So it remains in escrow until Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and it's Eliyahu HaNavi ultimately, again, who resolves all of these things. Or essentially, you will say, essentially a teiku. Right? So this is a financial teiku. We leave the money in messianic escrow. Eliyahu HaNavi will go ahead and Eliyahu HaNavi will say, but I just want to point out, why is it that Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who resolves questions? Why is that? He's like, it's not Mashiach. It's interesting. It's not Mashiach. It's Eliyahu HaNavi. So I say, so understand, often where there's questions, unresolved questions, there's machlokas. Where there's machlokas, there's tension. There's tension, like interpersonal tension. Remember again, I will say, Eliyahu HaNavi made the mistake once of maligning Klal Yisrael. Right, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Azav Tam Asrah, so Klal Yisrael left your Torah. He spoke negatively about Klal Yisrael. So we'll say, so kind of like Eliyahu HaNavi's mission is to bring Shalom within the ranks of Klal Yisrael. This is the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi attends every single bris. Right? Why do we have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who says that Klal Yisrael left your bris, they left the covenant. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, really? Really? Eliyahu HaNavi, you're going to be one very busy man. If only we could see him, then we wouldn't have to say Tachnun. Right? But Lamaisa, Eliyahu HaNavi attends every single bris because that is the Ribono Shel Olam's way of showing him, you were wrong. You might be great, but even you, as great as you were, did not fully comprehend the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They never forsake the covenant. They never turn their back on me. And ultimately, Eliyahu, you caused a little bit of tension, so your job is resolution of all questions. Rabbi say, you know why? What did Chazal say? Ein simcha kataras hasegos. There is no greater joy in life than the resolution of doubt. I will say, can you imagine the day when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and we have the whole list of questions, a shas filled with questions, and all of these kind of cases where ultimately people owe money? So can you imagine the simcha when we get those answers? That simcha of resolution of doubt is going to cause so much a proliferation of shalom within the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi, who spoke a little bit negatively about Klal Yisrael, who said that we're not as great as we are, laments again, his job is to cause shalom, his job is to resolve doubt, his job is to bring simcha. Incredible. So Rabbi says, that's opinion number one. Rabbi Yosef says, no, that can't be the halacha. Imkein mahev siramai. Rabbi Yosef says, that makes no sense. Rabbi Yosef says, watch this. So imagine this case where Reuven and Shimon deposited money with me. Let's call it that Reuven said he deposited 200, Shimon said, Reuven deposited 200, Shimon deposited 100. Now they both show up, and again, I'm fuzzy on the details. So now both of them are claiming 200. So we'll say, what does the Tanakhama say? Fine, give them both 100 and let the rest remain in Messianic escrow. So Yossi says that doesn't make any sense, because then what's the incentive not to lie? In other words, anyone who wants to try to finagle something, you're never going to lose. You'll always get back, right? Assuming the amounts work like this, you'll always get back your amount. And I don't know, maybe you have a chance of even getting a little bit more. So Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, listen to this. Ella, hakot yehimunach ad sheva Eliyahu. Rabbi Yossi says, in this kind of case, the entire amount, the entire 300, gets put in Messianic escrow. You know, if we're not sure what to do, just put the whole thing away. So Rabbi Yossi, now what that does is, that goes ahead and disincentivizes lying. Because Rabbi Yossi, again, a person only lies if what? If they think they're going to gain. But if I know for sure that I'm going to lose, people don't lie. So if I know that by lying, everything gets put in escrow, I'm not going to lie. The chen shnei kelim. Both say similarly again. The case of two utensils. Echad yaf one of echad yaf ve'echad yaf elef. So we'll say, let's say one is worth $100, one is worth $1,000. Ze omer yafeshli ve ze omer yafeshali. So each party now claims the nicer utensil is theirs. Reuven and Shimon Shah, both is, right, it's theirs. So the Gemara says, what do you do? No sinas akatan la'echad mehem. So we give the smaller utensil to one of them. Umitocha gadol no sin de mekatan. Now, Bosa is interesting. Now, according to Rashi, what's actually happening over here is we break the larger utensil, right? Assuming that it's the type of utensil that if broken, the shards are independently valuable. And we give a small shard corresponding to the value of the small utensil to the other party. In other words, we give them both equal amounts corresponding to the value of the smaller utensil. The Gemara says, "Umitoch ha-gadol nosin de-mekatan l'sheni, v'ashar yehimunach ad shevo Eliyahu." And you leave the rest of the Messianic escrow. Once again, Rabbi Yossi, Imkein Mahev Sid Ramai. That doesn't make any sense. About say, you've incentivized lying because there's nothing to lose. Elaha kol yehimunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rather, Rabbi Yossi, what do? The entire amount remains in Messianic escrow until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Incredible. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara points out something fascinating. Alma, misfeika mafkinan mamon of alarmin and uke mamon of becheskas marin. Rabbi Yossi, let's focus on the first case. I go with Reuven and Shimon. I say, Reuven and Shimon, I stole from one of you. I don't know which one of you I stole from. What's the halacha? What did the Mishnah say? Pay them back. I should pay both of them back. So Gemara says, interesting. So what do you see from here? You see from here, both say that halacha l'maisa, even in the case of Safek, we extract money, and we don't say let the money remain wherever the chazaka owner is. In other words, we'll say, even in the case of theft, right now, who has the chazaka of ownership? Me, the thief. It's in my possession. But yeah, what do we see from here? Again, I know, we'll say, here's what I know. I know that I only owe one, right? I know that I owe money. What else do I know? I only owe money to one of them. Yet, what does the Mishnah say? Pay both of them. So what do you see from here? You extract money even out of doubt.
So the Gemara says, really, is that true or minhu? Shnaim shev kidu eisal echad, zeh manev zeh masayim, zeh omer shli masayim, zeh omer shli masayim, nosim lezeh manah, v'ashar yehi munach ad shiava ilyo. But I also look at the case of pikadon. Right? Again, Reuven and Shimon both deposited money with me. Right? One, 200, one, 100. They both come back claiming the 200. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? I give them both 100, and the rest is in messianic escrow. So we'll say, see from here that we don't extract money out of doubts. What's going on over here? So Shimon says, no. Amrlei, pikadon, agezal karam. That's two different cases. The first case, the Mishnah, is a case of theft. The second case, the Mishnah, is a case of pikadon. Gezel, da'avadi sura kansur rabbanon. Well, in a case of theft where I did something wrong, essentially, the rabbis penalized the thief. They penalized the thief. You stole. Okay, you don't know who you stole from. You know what? That's your problem. If you want to make good, then pay everyone back. It's a knas. It's a penalty. Pikadon de la avadi sura lo kansur rabbanon. I will say, but by pikadon, where I'm the holder, I'm the shomer. I didn't do anything wrong with the deposits. And therefore, Allah Chalamaisa, again, give them both 100, and the rest remains in messianic escrow. Incredible. So the Gemara says, V'rami pikadon ha-pikadon, rami agezal agezal. But the truth is, I could even bring a contradiction in the cases of pikadon, the cases of gezal. How so? Here we go. Pikadon ha-pikadon, diktani reisha, o agim shal achamigem, hifkit etzlimana, ve'im yodea eizuhu, nosim lezemona lezemona. So we'll say now, listen to this. Let's look at the cases of pikadon. Right, case the one of pikadon. I go over to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon, one of your fathers, deposited $100 with me. I don't know which father it was. What did the Mishnah say? What's the halacha? Pay them both. Okay, watch this. Or minhu, shnaim shev kidu. Yet Rabbi say again, what was the second case? The second case in the Mishnah was that two people deposit money with me, right? One 200, one 100, and what? I don't know who's who. What's the halacha? Give them both 100 and let the rest remain until Eliyahu Navi, messianic escrow. So it's a contradiction. In case number one of pikadon, when I don't know who the owner is, what's the halacha? I have to pay them both. In case number two, where I don't know who the owner is, I don't have to pay them both. I give them both the basic entitlement and the rest remains until Eliyahu Navi. So what's going on over here? The Gemara says, Amarava, no, it's not a problem. Reisha nasa kimishev kido lo b'shnei krichos. So we'll say, listen to this. Apparently, we'll say, there are different kinds of cases of deposits. There's a case of what we call shnei krichos. Shnei krichos, we'll say, literally means two bundles, represents a case of where two people deposit money with me or an object with me at two different times. Now, two different times doesn't have to mean two different days. It just means that they're doing it in two distinct frames, time frames. So I will say, when that happens, there is a burden or responsibility upon me, the Shomer, to remember what? Who gave me what? That's part of the Shmira. If I'm watching multiple items and multiple people, part of my Shmira is to remember who gave me what. That's different than a case, I will say, of what we call Krach Echad. Krach Echad is, imagine Reuven and Shimon show up at the same time, and they both put their stuff on my dining room table. So clearly, if they're coming at the same time, putting down their stuff at the same time, that means that what? They're not makbid with one another. Because if they would be makbid with one another, they'd be a little bit more careful to give it separately and independently. So if they're not makbid to differentiate their items, then what? I, the shomer, don't have to be any more responsible as well. In other words, we'll say, I have no more responsibility to the item than the owner itself has responsibility to the item, which is a tremendous yisod in general. I, the shomer, have no greater responsibility to the item than the owners themselves have towards it. So the Gemara says, therefore, like this, in the case of where the fathers deposited money with me, that apparently was a case of two different time frames. Because we're talking about a case where that's what? One person deposited money with me, right? Remember, again, I'm going over to Reuven and Shimon and I'm saying, one of your fathers deposited money with me, I'm just not sure who. Which means, I received the deposit from one person. Jose, when I receive a deposit from one person, what's my obligation? To remember who gave it to me. If I fail to remember, I have to pay them both. Case number two, of where Reuven and Shimon deposited money with me, that's a case of where they came together, plopped down their money together. I'm like, guys, if you don't care enough to differentiate who gave me what, I'm just watching $300, right? And assuming that you are going to be honest with one another, and when you show up and claim your money, I'll honor your claim. But I have no greater responsibility to your money than you do. Incredible. And therefore, Allah Lamaisa, in that case, when they both show up claiming the $200, what do I say? What do I say? Here's 100 for you and 100 for you, because that's your basic entitlement. And the shah, the rest of it, messianic escrow. Incredible. Kigon daf kidu tarvai bahadi adadi bichad zimna. We'll say this is like where Reuven and Shimon both came along at the same time and deposited their money with me at one time. The Amr Lahu, I say to them, Ant gufaychu lo kapidasu adadi ana kapidna. If you, Reuven and Shimon, you're not makbid with each other, so I should be makbid with you. Incredible. So we'll say, so that's how we resolve the two different cases of covenant. So we'll say, this is actually an important distinction. So halacha lemaisa, where there is either one depositor or two depositor in two distinct time frames, I, the shomer, have a distinct responsibility to remember who gave me what. When multiple people are showing up at the same time and just plopping down stuff and ask me to watch it, I, the shomer, have no greater responsibility to the item than the owner. And therefore, if they're not makbid on one another, I don't have to be makbid to remember who gave me what either. Very interesting. From Yagez Lagez. I'll also say, what about the cases of theft? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Katan yahacha amr l'shtayim gazat l'echa mikem mana ve'eni odea mikem, oh, right, ve'eni odea mikem, oh, aviv shal'echa mikem hefkid li mana ve'eni odea eze, no sin l'zeh mana u l'zeh mana. So we'll say, in the case of Gezel, I go to Reuven and Shimon, I stole something from one of you, and I don't know which one of you I stole from. What's the halacha? Pay them both back. Or Minu Reza Kasha, Gazel, listen to this case, it was very interesting. Gazel, Echam, Echam, Yishav, Eni Odea, Eizem, and Gazel. If I stole from one of five people, and I don't know who I stole from, Ze Omer, Osi Gazel, Ze Omer, Osi Gazel. So let's say now what's happening in this case. Everyone is claiming, of course, that they are the victim. So, okay, right? I never said, just to be clear, I know that I stole. I know that I stole. Here, in this case over here, each of the parties is claiming they are the victim of theft. What's the halacha? This is great. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Maniach gzila b'neim u'mistalik divi Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, it's called drop and run. Drop and run, right? Drop the object in the middle of the group and run. Let them figure it out, right? I have an obligation to return the stolen object. I'm returning it, then go. The people say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? And I both say, this is dramatically different. In other words, in our Mishnah, I go over to Reuven and Shimon. I stole from one of you. I don't know who I stole from. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Pay them both. Yet, in this case over here, I go over to a group of five. I know that I stole from one of you, and each of them are claiming, yeah, it was me. It was me. What's the halacha? Drop one object in the middle and run. So why don't I have to pay all of them? To which the Gemara says, Alma, misfeik alamaf kinam amona, varminan ukim amona becheskas mare. So we'll say, what do you see from here? In the second case, we don't extract five payments from me, from the ganov. Rather, again, I'm chayiv once. I go ahead and I pay the money, and that's it. What's going on? So we'll say, so how do we reconcile these two rulings? So the Gemara says, "Umimay demasnisin dahacha Rabbi Tarfon hi diktani Allah." So I'll say, so how do you know that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Tarfon? Diktani Allah da hi mod Rabbi Tarfon ba omer l'shnayim kazalti le'achem ikem ve'eni yodeh ezem ikem shen ve'eni yodeh ezem ikem. So I'll say, because it's explicit, Rabbi Tarfon said like this: that if I steal from two people, Reuven and Shimon, I go over to them and I say, "Guys, I don't know who I stole from. What's the halacha? Shenosin lezemana ulezemana." Even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that halacha l'maaseh paid them both back. So we'll say, I don't understand, what's the distinction in the cases? In our Mishnah, I go over to two people, I stole from one of you, I don't know who I stole from, pay them both. Yet, in Rabbi Tarfon's case, I stole from one of five, each of them are claiming they are the victim, I only have to pay once, drop and run. To which the Gemara says, Hasam dikatavile hacha beba letzeh shemayim. Oh, so we'll say, here we go. And we'll say, this is the understanding we've been waiting for. We'll say, in the case of I stole from five people, or sorry, I stole from one person in a group of five, but I don't know who the victim is. So what's the halacha? I drop and run. The Gemara says, look at Rashi, hasam de katavile, v'hu ein chafetz liten ela min hadin, u'meseka leslan l'chiyuve l'chol chad v'chad. So in the case of where I stole from one of five people and I don't know who I stole from, I will say, even though each of them is claiming that they're the victim, obviously I will say, none of them are capable of proving their claim. Because if they were capable of proving their claim, then what? Then I would pay that person. So in this case, I would say, what is my liability as a thief? My liability as a thief is to return the stolen object. That is my legal liability. So therefore, when I drop the item in the middle of the chevra over there and run, I have fulfilled my obligation. Rabbi will say, our Mishnah is biba lotzeis yedei shamayim. So Rabbi will say, over here in the Mishnah, I want to expunge my spiritual record. So Rabbi will say, I want to know that I've done the right thing and that I've rectified the wrongs in my life. So therefore, again, I will say, what am I doing? I'm going above and beyond. There is satisfying your legal requirement, and there is satisfying your spiritual requirement. My legal requirement is, I stole from one of them, I don't know who it is, drop and run. That's the legal requirement. The higher spiritual requirement, I will say, is, I wronged another person, and I want to right that wrong. But I don't know which person I wronged. So therefore, again, if you want to fully expunge your spiritual record and you want a completely clean slate, you have to go above and beyond. We'll say, this is very important. Let's finish this up. Rashi says over here, Hadahacha bevada says de shamayim, me'ilav balim lach mayaseh v'lo ye'anish. So we'll say, I'm coming on my volition. I want to say, you know what? I want to expunge my spiritual record. I want to clean the slate. So what do I need to do to know that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm good? So again, if I come up, I come to my Rebbe and I say, Rebbe, help me. I want to go ahead and expunge your record. I want a clean slate. So I was going to say, listen, what are your options? You pay one of them. It's possible you're giving to the wrong person. You put it in messianic escrow, you are definitely depriving the victim of his money. So the only way to know that you are making good, that you are doing good on all counts is what? Pay them both. So both say, you also see something really incredible over here. That in life, when I do something wrong, so I say, sometimes the mechanistic process of fixing the wrong is not enough to restore your spiritual record. Sometimes when I do something wrong, so in order to go ahead and fully rectify myself spiritually, I have to go above and beyond. It's not enough just to kind of erase the stain. It's not enough just to go ahead and legalistically or mechanistically fix that which is broken. But at the end of the day, I want to restore my spiritual stature. I want to be good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes that demands even a higher level of restorative activity, a higher level of chuvadik activity. Righting the wrong is kind of like the price of entry. But then if you want that spiritual clean slate, you have to beva, let's say, I have to go above and beyond. Incredible. The Gemara says, they cannot meet the tani, shehod mepiatzmo. So we'll see. See over here, it says, in the case of the Mishnah, I'm admitting of my own volition. So obviously you're talking about a person who wants to go ahead and bevah lot seisi deshamayim. Incredible. Amar mar, hasam, in the case of where I stole from one of five people. So we'll say, so just an interesting idea. So there's what we'll call legal tshuva and spiritual tshuva. Legal tshuva, drop and run. Spiritual tshuva, you got to just pay back everyone, because this way you know that you've, for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you've done good. So Gemara goes back there. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar Hasam, in the case of where I stole from one of five people, now let's drop and run. This Gemara says, what's happening over here? Each of those five are claiming that I owe them money. V'halo matoin. So I go over to the group of five people. I know that I stole from one of them. I don't know who I stole from. They're each claiming it was me. What am I responding? I'm silent. I'm yelling back. Rashi says, "Eni makirecha." I don't know who you are. Right? So they're each claiming you stole from me. I say, "I'm so sorry. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are." So I'll say the opinion that says that I'm screaming back. Well, it doesn't have to be screaming, but I'm claiming back. I don't know who you are. Aval shtika koda. If I was silent in the face of the claim, ultimately, again, that silence would be acquiescence. Umandam halo shosei, the one who says that I'm quiet, shtika dahacha lav keoda. Being silent about say in this case is not considered to be an omission. We'll say, normally we say, shtiga kol da, silence is admission. We'll say, in this case over here, silence is not admission. Why not? So the Gemara says, matzi amrle, hai di shtiki lechol chad v'chad da'amina dilma haihu. We'll say, I could claim over here, look, the reason I'm silent, and we'll say, remember again, I could say in my defense, the reason why I'm silent is why? I'm admitting, I don't know who I stole from. I know it was someone from this chevra. I don't know which one of you. So the reason when you're yelling at me and saying that I'm the thief, the reason I'm quiet is not because I'm admitting to you. It's really because I don't know. Okay? So the Amar Mar, Maniach Gzeila Mimeim Umistalik. Suppose now watch this. So remember again, the case of I stole from one of five, I don't know who I stole from. Each of them are claiming that they are the victim. So what do? Drop and run. Drop and run. So the Gemara says, now what happens then? V'shakli lehu kulhu v'azli. So I'm going to say, what exactly happens in that case? So very nice. You drop the object in the middle of five people who are claiming that they are victims of theft. So now what? They take the object and what? What exactly occurs? So the Gemara says, v'am rabbi abba bar zavda amrav, kol safek kinoach lechatchila lo yitol, v'im nota lo yachzir. I will say, it's fascinating, we just learned this week. So I will say, here's the problem. The problem over here is that halacha lemaisa, we have an issue, right? So what Rabbi Abar Zavda said, I will say, if I come across an object, there's an elimitius, we have this. If I come across an object that looks like it was placed intentionally, most remember again, we had this case, for example, you find a garment by a wall. So that could be potential intentional placement. What do you do with an item that was potentially intentionally placed? What do you do? You leave it alone. Leave it alone. If you picked it up, you don't give it back. They're both saying, now, what that means is, it's yehemunach achiyavo elio. Because again, both say, the problem is, once I picked it up, we're talking about an item that doesn't have a simon, so therefore there's no real way to return it. So even when someone says that it's theirs, I can't return it because they can't give a simon. So it has to remain a messianic aspect. Look at Rashi. V'am Rabbi Abba Bar Zav Safek Inuach, Mata Davar She'in Bo Simen, B'tzal Mokom She Mishtamer K'tzas. I find an object that does not have a simon in an area that is only partially secure. T'lo Shlichi In She'i D'Azli, V'yesh L'Safuk Yeshem Midas Hunach Shem L'Chatchila. So L'Chatchila Lo Yitlena. So again, as we just said before, ideally, leave it alone. Leave it alone because it's possible someone intentionally placed it there. But if you took it, you can't return it. Rashi says, bottom line, just for the sake of time, that halacha lemaisa, look at the end of that Rashi, alma, midi demesafkalon deman ninhu, tzarech lanicho biyad mishu achiz baradavar. So we'll say, here's the problem. What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, if something potentially belongs to someone, you ideally should leave it alone. Right, so therefore, we'll say in this case over here, where Reuven goes, right, I'm the thief. I stole from one of five people. Right, they're each claiming they're the victim. So what do? Drop and run. So I will say, so technically speaking, none of the people there are permitted to pick up that object. Right? Why? Because it may belong to someone else. And in the case of an object that belongs to someone else, really the ideal is don't touch it. So what exactly am I rectifying over here by dropping that object into the middle of the group of five? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Amr Rav Safra, v'yaniach. Rav Safra says, ultimately, again, leave it there. Rashi says, Amr Rav Safra, v'yaniach. Hadik tani mistalek, lav delishkalu inhu v'lezlu, v'lo shir tzienu miyado, elo temunachos ad she yisbarer hadavar, v'hai mistalek silu kadinu, v'yaniach gzele b'fneim bebezdin, v'yomar biru shal miza, v'yital v'yistalek miyadin. Rav Safra says, you're right. It doesn't mean you drop it in the middle of them and run. What it means is, bring it to Beis Din, place it in front of Beis Din, and say, Beis Din, you figure this out. I don't have the mechanism or the tools to know who is the real victim. All I know is, I am the perpetrator of a crime. I stole X. I want to return X. I don't have the tools to figure out who is the owner. I'm giving it to you. You figure it out. I'm going to lay a bay the Rava. Mi amar Rabbi Akiva. Lo zu aderech motzi asim idei avero. Ad shi ishalim gzeila l'chol chad v'chad. I will say, now remember again, Rabbi Akiva said, I will say, now this is end of the same Mishnah Yevamos. Right? Same Mishnah Yevamos. Remember again, this is the case ultimately again of, we saw this, remember our Yevamos days. Often we try not to remember our Yevamos days, right? And let's say, but Lameis, again, remember, this is the case where Halacha Lameis, again, I stole from one of five people. I don't know who I stole from. So the Tanakhama says, drop and run. Drop it, right? Drop it in the middle of the five, and then ultimately, again, go on your way. Go on your way. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that does not work. That does not work. Rather, what's the halacha, Bosai? The halacha is, you have to pay every single one of them. That's Rabbi Akiva. Every single one of them. So the Gemara says, so those who this type of approach does not satisfy your requirement. You have to pay back every single one of the potential victims. Alma, misveka mafkina mamona, v'lo aminon uki mamona v'cheskas marei. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even in the case of Safek, you extract money. Because we'll say, one thing is absolutely sure, which is what? I don't owe money to five people. That is for sure, right? I only owe money at most to one person. Yet Rabbi Akiva says, even in the case of Safek, we extract money. Or Minu, the Gemara says, this is a fascinating case, quickly. We'll say, watch this case. Let's say Reuven and his mother are in a house together. The house falls on them and kills them. Now just to give you some family background over here, let's call his mother Rachel. Rachel is a widow. Her husband is dead, right? And Reuven is an only child. So Rabbi says, now watch what happens over here. So Rabbi says, there is an inheritance dispute. Hopefully they wait until after the Levaya. Right? So there's an inheritance dispute. So Rabbi says, now watch this. Yershe ha-bein omrim ha-ein meisa rishona. So Rabbi says, watch this. The inheritors of the son. Rabbi says, now who are the inheritors of the son? That's the father's family. Right? The father passed away, but the father's family will be the inheritors of the son, because he's an only child. There are no brothers. So the inheritors of the son, or it could be also, yeah, or the brothers from the father. Right? So the inheritors of the son, they go ahead and they say, mother died first. Because remember, what happens when mothers die first? Mother died first. That means the son inherited her. The son inherited her. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, the inheritors of the son get the property of the son and the property of the mother. Yarshia Aim Omrim Mesa Ben Rishon. I will say, the inheritors of the mother say, no. The son died first. And therefore, again, the mother's estate did not pass through the son. And therefore, the mother's family inherits her estate. So I will say, what's the halacha? Eilu v'eilu modim sheyach loku. Everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, we split everything. Rabbi Akiva says, I agree in this situation, halacha l'maisa, we keep the property in its chazokadika status. In other words, we leave the property where it is. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva modani baze, afa pi shani mishal beshamai, from bishar sharna filos yachloku, modani baze, bezuani modlo besilo, shanachasim becheskasan. So Rabbi Akiva says, in this case, we'll leave everything where it is. Amar le hasam shema v'shema. So we'll say, you can't compare the cases. Why? We'll say, in the case of where I stole from one of five, that case is a case of shema v'shema. In other words, in the case of the house falling down, maybe the mother died first, maybe the son died first. So the Gemara says, gezel echa mechamisha bari v'shema. In the case of where I stole from one of five people, I'll say, it's a bari v'shema. What's the bari v'shema? The bari ultimately is that I stole. The Shema ultimately, again, is which one? So I'm going to say, in a case of Shema V'Shema, that's what Rabbi Akiva says, keep property where it is. In a case of Bari V'Shema, again, I'm going to say, in this case over here, of the soul, every one of the victims is saying, it was me. So each of them is a Bari. I am a Shema. In a case of Bari V'Shema, Rabbi Akiva says, if you want to make good, you have to pay each of the parties. So I'm going to have to stop over here. And we're stopping a little bit, like in the middle of the Sugya. I'm going to say, Ben Emeritz Hashem, again, we'll continue with this tomorrow. And get some incredible halacha l'maisa on this as well. Shkoyach. They have. Good Shabbos. Good to see you.